नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नमाम विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे वंचाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। ओम ज्ञानतिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाखया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। रीडिंग फ्रॉम ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम। टुडेज टेक्स्ट इज फ्रॉम चैप्टर नंबर 19 एंटाइटल्ड द पुंसवान रिचुअलिस्टिक सेरेमोनी एंड टुडेज श्लोक और टेक्स्ट इज टेक्स्ट नंबर 18। कृतं एकत्रेणापि दमपतयोरुभयोरपि पत्न्यां कुर्याद् अनर्हायां पतिरेतत् समाहितः। कृतं एकत्रिणापि दंपतयोरुभयोरपि पत्न्यां कुर्यादनर्हायां पतिरेतत् समाहितः। कृतं एकत्रिणापि दमपत्योरुभयोरपि पत्न्यां कुर्याद् अनर्हायां पतिरेतत् समाहितः। कृतं एकत्रिणापि दंपतयोरुभयोरपि पत्न्यां कुर्यादनर्हायां पतिरेतत् समाहितः। Mataji's. Kirtam ekatrenapi dampatyorubhayorapi kuryadanarhayam patiretat samahitah. Kindly repeat word to word meaning. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada Ji ki Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya Acharya Guru Var ki Gaur Premanande. Kritam executed ekatrena by one api even dampatayaho of the wife and husband ubayaho of both, api, still, patnyam, when the wife, kuryat, he should execute, anarhayam, is unable, patihi, the husband, etat, this, samahitah, with attention. Translation, please repeat after me. Between the husband and wife, one person is sufficient to execute this devotional service. Because of their good relationship, both of them will enjoy the result. Therefore, if the wife is unable to execute this process, the husband should carefully do so, and the faithful wife will share the result. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ji ki. The relationship between husband and wife is firmly established when the wife is faithful and the husband sincere. Then even if the wife, being weaker, is unable to execute devotional service with her husband, if she is chaste and sincere, she shares half of her husband's activities. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Vandeham Shri Guru Shriyuta Padakamalam Shri Guron Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Deen Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kantu Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye. Aradhyo Bhagwan Vrajeshatanayas Tad dham vrindavanam ramya kachi dupasna vrajavadu vargena taya kalpita Srimad bhagavatam puranamalam prema pumartho mahan Sri Chaitanya mahaprabhur mataidam nayatra agraha para. Granthraj Srimad bhagavatam ki jai. So, first of all, my humble obeisances onto the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada's disciples, senior devotees, brahmacharis and all the Vaishnavas assembled here. I am very fortunate that I'm giving this moment to speak a few words about this exalted grantha, although not qualified, but I will try my best, just as a bird has its own capacity to fly. So if I make any mistakes or if there are any corrections, please forgive me and correct me. So in this particular verse, kritam ekatrenapi dampatayor ubhayorapi patnyam kuryat anarhayam patiretat samahitah. These are the instructions Sri Sri Radha Ras Bihari ji ki, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ji ki, Patita Pavan and Nitai Gaur Sundar ki, Srila Prabhupada Anant Koti Vaishnavrinda ki. These are the instructions that Sukadeva Goswami Pad is narrating to Parikshit Maharaj, and it is about, it's almost coming to an end about the explanation on the Pumsavana Vrata or the Pumsavana ritualistic ceremony. In order to kind of, before getting into the shloka, I would like to kind of summarize the contents of this and the previous chapter as to why this particular prasanga or this particular matter is being discussed or spoken. In the previous chapter, in chapter number 18, of the sixth canto, Mother Diti and Aditi's sons of both of them, or the sons of Kashyap Muni, are described. Kashyap Muni had two wives, Aditi and Diti. And the reason why this particular vrata came into the subject matter is because the sons of Diti were killed by the son of Aditi, who was instrumental, Indra. Aditi had 12 sons. Amongst them, the prominent ones were Varun, Mitra, Indra and Upendra or Vamandev. And it is described in the 18th chapter about the lineage, about the different progenies. Like Valmiki Rishi was born of Varun Dev, and Mitra and Varun Dev combined, there out of them the progenies were Agastya Muni and Vasishtha Muni. And then of course Indra had three sons, Jayanta, etc. And then Upendra, the last one, also known as the famous Vamandev. And Sukadeva Goswami Pad says that I will particularly describe the wonderful activities of Vamandev in the 8th canto. And of course we all know the wonderful pastimes of Vamandev and Bali Maharaj. Now, Diti, the sons of Diti are also, a brief description is given in the previous chapter. The first two sons were Hiranaksha and Hiranyakashipu, and then there were 49 Marutas that were also born of Diti. That's why the sons of Diti, they are called Daityas, and they are basically from the Rakshas Kul, or they are demoniac in nature, except the 49 Marutas that were amazingly bestowed the benediction of becoming devatas or demigods. And that's basically the subject matter here, that how is it that these Marutas became, although born of Diti, they should have the demoniac propensity. And in spite of them being born in the womb of Diti, how are they so demigod likely, or they were like devatas? So the pastime is that when Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu were born, obviously we all know the story, the pastime that they were terrorizing the entire universe, and all the Devi Devatas also were extremely scared, and some of them even left their positions and they scattered all over the world, all over the Brahman, in fear of these two demons. And Indra, obviously being the king of heaven, he was completely in distress, and he prayed to Lord Vishnu, Narayana, to mitigate their problem. So, as we know that in the form of Varadev killed Hiranyaksha, and Narsingadev killed Hiranyakashipu. Diti, the mother of these two sons, was extremely upset, and Indra, being the responsible for their death, she wanted to take revenge. And revenge is something that people will go to no matter what length sometimes, especially women. Srila Prabhupada writes in some of his purports that is extremely, a woman can go to, there are two sides of a woman. And if a woman wants to achieve something extremely vicious, then she can by all means. And that's exactly what happened here. Diti was so pleasing to her husband Kashyap Muni that she served him very well. She had an agenda behind that service. She served him so nicely with sweet words, and she knew exactly what he wanted at the right time, right place. And Kashyap Muni was very pleased with her service. So Kashyap Muni says in the previous chapter that you, Diti, have pleased me very much, thinking of me as a representative of the Lord. Yesterday, His Holiness Radha Govind Maharaj Ji gave a very wonderful class on the previous verse. And in that particular verse, there was this first line, there's a very nice word known as Mahapurusha Chetasa, meaning the wife should consider the husband as non-different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That kind of consciousness. Mahapurush means Krishna, and Chetasa means consciousness. And with that consciousness, the wife should serve the husband. As the famous saying goes, Pati is Parmeshwar. So basically, Kashyap Muni was extremely pleased with Diti's service, and she said that you have considered me the representation of Lord Narayana, and you have served me so well. My dear wife, please ask me for some benediction, and I will grant it to you. Now, remember one thing, that Kashyap Muni is extremely powerful sage, and he is able to grant very powerful boons. And so, being pleased with his wife, he asked her for some boons. So his wife immediately took advantage of his vakya and said that, if you so give me these boons, then I would like to use them so that we can produce a son. I would like to produce a son that will take revenge for Indra. Now, prior to that, obviously, because of the sweet words, Kashyap Muni was trapped. And it's a very dangerous thing. Sometimes suddenly, when your wife comes to you and talks very sweetly and has some out of the normal she is behaving, then there is something that is going to happen. It is a sign. So Shastra says you have to be very careful. As a matter of fact, even great sages like Kashyap Muni, they fall victim to the sense gratification. There is a very nice verse that I was reading earlier today, where Srila Prabhupada says, he quotes this verse from the 9th canto. Matra swasra dhuitrava navi vikshano bhavet balwan indriya gramo vidvamsha api karshati. A man should not associate with a woman in a solitary place, not even with his mother, sister or daughter, for the senses are so strong that they lead astray even a person that has advanced knowledge. It's a very dangerous situation. It's a lesson for each one of us, especially those who are celibates, like brahmacharis and sannyasis. As a matter of fact, Srila Prabhupada, by his own example, he used to set this. He never used to meet any Mataji alone, even though they were the age of her, probably her granddaughters. He would have some of his disciples always, because, you know, Srila Prabhupada was so popular, devotees and disciples always wanted his darshan, his guidance, and some of the Matajis would definitely come and meet Srila Prabhupada and ask for his guidance. But sometimes Prabhupada would say, you know, ask his disciples, they would, and sometimes there's some discussions that they wanted to do in private, like, you know, certain. But even though Srila Prabhupada said, would I have one of his disciples stay with him, make sure that to set the example of an acharya. Acharya means one who leads the life by example. So mingling of the opposite sexes is very dangerous. Srila Prabhupada writes in one of his other purports here that sometimes our Krishna consciousness movement is criticized for mingling men and women. But Krishna consciousness is meant for anyone, whether one is a man or a woman, does not matter. Srila Prabhupada once, you know, being here in Bombay, Srila Prabhupada always came here, and he had a very good friend, Dr. Bhogilal Patel. He used to come here, and Prabhupada used to go for morning walks. And Bhogilal Patel was a very more of a intellectual personality who was well read in different shastras, including Bible, Quran, Gita, etc. And Srila Prabhupada loved to debate with him. And whenever he came, it was a chance for his disciples to learn something as to how to defeat the Mayavad philosophy, how to defeat the different arguments that were kind of averse to Krishna consciousness, or the different interpretations of Krishna consciousness based on Shastra. So one time Sri Bhogilal Patelji, he had a very good rapport with Srila Prabhupada, you know, and he said, Swamiji, you are supposed to be a Swami, and you, Bhagavad Gita says that, you know, Pandita Samadarshina, a Pandita or a learned person looks upon everybody equally, but you constantly condemn these scientists by calling them rascals, etc. And you, so, you know, I don't understand this. I mean, you know, so Srila Prabhupada stopped, he smiled, as his usual posture, he looked up. He had a nice, beautiful smile on his face, and he took his walking stick and showed all his white disciples. He called them white elephants. And he said, this is our version of Pandita Samadarshana. We give Krishna consciousness equally to everyone. So the point I was just reminded here because of this. So Prabhupada is saying that yes, there are certain institutions and certain places where their women are restricted. They cannot come, they cannot sing, they cannot do aarti. Only the males will do it. Only the males have the authority to do some major services. Women are not even sometimes even allowed in certain services. So Srila Prabhupada here mentions that this Krishna conscious movement is criticized for mingling of men and women. Yes, men and women are mingling, but for what? But Krishna consciousness is meant for everyone and anyone. Pandita Samadarshana means looking at the soul within the body, not the outer covering of male or female. So whether one is a man or a woman, it does not matter. Lord Krishna personally says, Striyo vaishyas tatha shudras te api yanti param gatim. Whether one is a woman or a shudra or a vaishya, not to speak of being a brahmana or kshatriya, everyone is fit to return home back to Godhead. So it is based on our Vedic culture. It is based on the correct understanding of what Krishna wants, about what varnashram is. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Chaturvarnya Maya system, Guna Karma Vibhagashana. It's by Guna and Karma, it's not by Janma. Even great personalities like His Divine Grace Bhakti Siddhanta Prabhupada was criticized because he gave Brahminical initiation. Actually, this Brahminical initiation was started in our Gaudiya with what is called Devi Varnashram that Bhakti Siddhanta Prabhupada wanted to establish. And he, as long as he saw that somebody is sincere and eligible and had Brahminical qualities, he initiated them into the Brahman Diksha. And of course, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami Prabhupada followed in his footsteps. And he was criticized in Gaudadesh in Bengal. And there were a lot of Brahmins who were completely envious of Srila Prabhupada, Bhakti Siddhanta Prabhupada. They even tried to kill him. There are pastimes there. There was even a conspiracy where, you know, Bhakti Siddhanta Prabhupada was almost killed when a disciple of his in his garb sat, and then Bhakti Siddhanta Prabhupada left the place. Otherwise, because of the same way, this is recent, but even if you go back by around Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time, Narottam Das Thakur, he was born in a Kayastha family. And because of his exalted position, the Smartha Brahmins were extremely envious of Narottam Das Thakur. And they complained to King Narsingha that this is nonsense, you know. He's initiating, he's not a Brahmana and he's initiating people. How can that be possible? So it is out of envy. And our movement is based on basically what Srila Prabhupada believes very strongly, that you're not this body, you're a spirit soul, Jivir Swarup Hoy, Krishner Nityadas. So not making a distinction. But at the same time, Srila Prabhupada is warning that if we strictly follow the instructions of the spiritual master and shastra, then everybody is fit to go home back to Godhead. We therefore request all the members of the Krishna conscious movement, both men and women, not to be attracted by the bodily features, but only to be attracted to Shri Radha Krishna. So there will always be some criticism when that happens. And sometimes we see that, you know, even the freely mingle, men and women, it is not permitted, as it is very clear Srila Prabhupada has stated that our purpose is for a higher purpose, not for the bodily platform. The reason why I bring this up is basically that even the greatest of the personalities like Kashyap Muni fell victim to the demands of senses that Diti had so pleasantly trapped him. And obviously, we all know that why Diti begot Rakshasas is because during twilight time, she forced Kashyap Muni into physical union, which he forbade. He said that, don't, please, I beg you, I request you, this is not the time, because Lord Shiva, he comes out, you know, with all the different followers who are mostly Bhut Pretas. Lord Shiva is so kind that, you know, nobody wants to associate with Bhut Pretas. If somebody says there's a Bhut, everybody will run. Nobody wants to go. But Lord Shiva is so kind that he accepts everybody. So he is trying to, at that time in the Sandhya, especially in the Trikal Sandhya, the evening time, when the twilight is, Lord Shiva comes out on Nandi along with his followers, and he is trying to find them different yonis or appropriate wombs, so that these people or these entities that are suffering without a sthula sharir or without a gross body, they will get one and they can probably continue their journey. So that is why it is forbidden in the Shastra to have any physical union between husband and wife, especially during Sandhya time in the evening. And because if somebody does that, then obviously chances are that they will get a demoniac son or a daughter of that personality. Anyways, so Diti had very, very deceitfully, just like, you know, another prasang in Ramayana, where Kaikai, you know, when King Dashrath was so pleased with Kaikai's seva that she became his charioteer and saved him in the war, in the Devasur Sangram, that he was so pleased that he granted her boons, and she obviously misused those boons by asking for the exile of Lord Ramachandra, and we all know the rest of the pastimes, and also the boon, another boon she used, that Rama should be not the king, although he's the firstborn and the rightful heir of King Dashrath, Bharat, her son, would be the heir or the king. So it is extremely very important that one should not fall. If we have the proper perception, sometimes we do find even in our devotee life we have certain frictions, certain conditions in our life when we are with our spouses and we may disagree. But if our concentration is mainly on Krishna, then even if we have to disagree, it's okay. But as long as it's done properly, and you have to stand your grounds and not fall into the trap. So when this happened, obviously Kashyap Muni realized that, oh my God, what did I do? Now she is asking me to kill Indra, to produce a son, give her a boon so that that will kill Indra. How horrible of me. He was repenting. He was repenting so badly. But then somehow or the other, Krishna is so kind on his devotees that he gave him an idea that here's what we will do. He said, Kashyap Muni told his wife that, fine, I've already, my word is given to you, so I cannot take that back. But what I would, but the only way that you will be successful in producing a son that will be able to kill Indra is if you follow this Pumsavana Vrata strictly for 1 year. And if you follow that strictly, then you will be able to produce a son that will kill Indra. But if you have any kind of lapse or any kind of mistakes you make in the injunctions that I give you in following the Pumsavana Vrata, then it will have the opposite effect. And the opposite effect will be that the son that will be born to you will become a friend of Indra. Rather than being an enemy, he'll be a friend of Indra. So, Diti Mata, she respectfully agreed to follow everything very strictly, and she started her austerity of following the Pumsavan Vrata. And that Vrata entails in this particular chapter, previous verses, there's a lot of details that are given of how to follow this Vrata. There were some do's and don'ts, like he had mentioned, Kashyap Muni, that you, in this purificatory process that I am bestowing, I'm asking you to do, there will be no violence, no cursing, no lies, you cannot cut your hair, you cannot cut your nails, you cannot be associating with impure people, you cannot get angry, you cannot speak to wicked people, you cannot wear unclean clothes, you cannot wear a garland worn by others, you cannot eat leftover foods, you cannot eat Kali Prasad, etc. So, and there were some other positive things that he also said, that wear nice clean clothes, wear a white sari, or ornaments, etc. And so all this said and done, she was following to the T everything that Kashyap Muni, her husband, had asked her to do. Now when she started doing that, her austerities were so great that Indra, he got scared. He said, my goodness, now what's going to happen? What will happen is, she's going to produce my enemy. Somehow or the other, I have to stop her from doing this, or I have to find a way. So what he did is, of course, Aditi is Indra's aunt. Indra was born of Aditi, but same father, so his aunt. So what he did is, he served his aunt very nicely. Again, there is an agenda. If somebody serves you extraordinarily nicely, then you have to think twice. Why is this person behaving like this? But obviously, Diti, being women, are also very simple. You know, they can be cheated very easily. That's also one of the qualities. Innocence is also, there are good things and bad things in all of us, right? So one of the good things in women, they're extremely vulnerable. And they are very naive. And they can be cheated very easily. So Indra took advantage of that, and he served his aunt very nicely. And one time, when she was so much tired and exhausted, and almost she fainted, passed away due to her austerity, that she fell asleep. Now, one of the conditions of the Pumsavan Vrata is that you have to wash your mouth, your hands and feet before you go to sleep. And that she was not able to do that at that particular moment. Now, seeing that, Indra took advantage and he entered into the womb of Diti. And he cut the embryo into 7 pieces with his thunderbolt. Now, amazingly enough, those 7 pieces that were, the womb that was cut, it kind of manifested into 7 pieces, and those 7 pieces were again cut into 7. So there were 49 embryos or 49 fetuses were there in Mother Diti's womb. And they were crying and telling Indra, "Oh Indra, why are you doing this? We are your well-wishers." So Indra took compassion, and he knew finally that he realized that Mother Diti actually had gone through these austerities, and austerities had purified her. Generally what happens is sometimes we have a certain agenda, even though it is extremely material, and if somebody takes to the process of worshipping the Supreme Lord, the agenda is sidelined and one gets purified. Just like we have the example of Dhruva Maharaj, we know that, right? He wanted to sit on the lap of his father Uttanapad and Ripudanapad, the mother, the second wife, Ruchi or Suruchi, who was it? The mother of Uttam. So one of the wives of the king said, "You cannot sit because you know you're not qualified. And if you need to be qualified, then you have to go and come into my womb in order to get that status. So you need to take birth in my womb." And then he goes back to his mother and says, "How can I do that, Mama? This is what I was told. I cannot sit on my father's lap. And this is, you know, I want to do that. And my other mother is telling me that I have to take birth in his womb and I have to pray to the Lord for that. So where can I find the Supreme Lord? This is my, I want to find him. I want to find him so that I can get my wish, fulfilled." So mother says, yes, beta, yes, you can. But I've heard that God is in the forest and you can go to the forest and find him there. So he goes out and then he meets Naraji. Naraji tests him, etc., etc. But when finally he gets the darshan of the Supreme Lord, he completely forgets about what he's asking for. What was his original wish, and he gets purified. But of course, the Lord is so kind that he also, Prabhupada writes in some of his purports in these chapters, that the Lord is kind that even though there are material desires, they are also fulfilled at the same time, and plus the purificatory process happens. So due to the purificatory process, the 49 sons, they are actually called the Marutas, or the wind gods. There are 49 of them, and they became demigods, and Indra accepted them and took them to the heavenly planets. When they were born, Mother Diti was extremely pleased, and she asked Indra, "How did this happen?" And Indra says, "Mother, I'm so sorry." He repents. He's repenting. He's in a repenting mood. He says that what I did was very wrong. I actually had a plan to kill your son, but I think it is because of your austerity you were saved, because of your purity, because of your purification. Just like, and then the example is given of Parikshit Maharaj. Sukadeva Goswami says, just like you are saved when you are in your mother's womb, Uttara's womb. Another name of Parikshit Maharaj is Vishnurat. Vishnurat means one who is protected by Vishnu. When Ashwatthama, with his powerful arrows, he wanted to kill the embryo within the womb of Uttara, Parikshit Maharaj was unborn at that time. And he was, he had fired the Brahmastra. And that is something which is extremely impossible to counteract. But Krishna himself, Vishnu came in. He went into the womb of Uttara and he created a shield. And Brahmastra could not pierce. And he was saved. That is why another name of Parikshit Maharaj is Vishnu Rat. What Rat means? Who is one is protected. Protected by Vishnu. So therefore, my dear Mother Diti, I apologize. Because of your purificatory process, because of your purification, you have taken this process to please Lord Vishnu, Lakshmi Narayana, the Supreme Person of God and Krishna. That is the reason why your sons have been saved. And they have become the demigods and the devatas in the heavenly kingdom. So, thus, after explaining the different ritualistic process of this Pumsavan Vrata, also at the end, Parikshit Maharaj is being told that basically in this particular shloka, about what the relationship between a husband and wife is. At the end, after the Pumsamman Vrat is done, offer the prasad to the Brahmins, and after that, you both partake of the prasad. Actually, wife has to serve the husband first. The duty of the wife is to consider the husband as the representation of Lord Narayana, which was discussed very nicely yesterday by His Holiness Radha Govind Maharaj-ji. But at the same time, there is a duty of the husband as well. The husband's duty is, if a wife is unable to do some things due to her preoccupation of her dharma, maybe it is kids, maybe it is other household duties like cooking, etc. And if she is not able to do something, then you should do it. The husband should not, that, okay, you know what, it's not my duty, I won't do it. So here is very distinctly, it is unfortunate that in our society today, people are so much of poor fund of knowledge and bad intellect, they consider and they actually blaspheme the Vedic culture by behaving in a very rude way with their spouses. It is, as a matter of fact, all these years that I've spent in North America, sometimes I've seen that some of the Indian people who are living there, they have their fights with their wife or their spouses, and the police is called, and the police knows. And they cannot, you know, this is, they say that this is the West. You cannot do this. You cannot touch them. You cannot even, you know, beat your children. If the children, oh, they call 911, which is the emergency number, they can get arrested, the parents. So the point is, okay, the Western culture is respecting the woman, but you know what? We, from the Vedic culture, this Bhagavatam cannot lie. It was compiled 5,000 years ago. It is the essence of the Vedic literature. How can the Bhagavatam lie? How can the Bhagavatam preach something that is against? As a matter of fact, women should be respected. The culture in our Vedic culture is where women are respected, demigods dwell, the devatas dwell. That is the instruction. If you don't respect your women, Lakshmi Devi never comes. As a matter of fact, our Vedic culture calls the husband as good as Narayana. Similarly, we call the wife or the woman of the house is known as Lakshmi. So that respect has to be there. If that is not there, then it is not something that will please the Supreme Lord. So that is why in this verse it is said, between the husband and wife, one person is sufficient. And our bond, the Vedic bond is such, like Maharaj said yesterday, there is no such thing as divorce. There is no such thing as divorce. Once you are tied, no matter what, this question comes. Yesterday one Prabhu had asked Maharaj Ji this question, and this question is asked again and again. What happens? Everybody wants to consider, the women should consider the husband as good as the Supreme Lord, as Pati Parmeshwar. But what if he is behaving in a nonsensical way? What happens if he is a drunkard? Prabhupada was asked these questions. Somewhere I had read, and maybe you all can correct me if somebody has, if this is something that I am speaking to the contrary. Prabhupada said, even then you should serve him nicely. Because if you do your dharma, which is, especially women are very, very gifted with one big quality, is if they are chaste, they have achieved everything and they have pleased the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They may not have to endeavor separately to go through the different austerities. Look at the examples in the Vedic culture that we have. Like Anusuya, Savitri, Mother Sita. How she very, very blindly, immediately was. The boon was, and what Kaikeyi had demanded, that I want to send Ramachandra to the forest. But she didn't say, I want to send Sita. But Sita Mata immediately, being from a very big royal family, Janak Raja, one of the Mahajans, extremely very, very wealthy. She was assisted by so many maids. Immediately her husband in a garb of a muni, she immediately rejected everything that she, all the royalty, and said, I'm going to follow you into the forest. Lord Ramachandra pleaded, no, you can't. And she said, no, you're stopping me from my dharma. That is the chastity. The chastity of Gandhari. Look at those examples. Where can we find those today? Very, very rare. And this is an example. Dhrishtrashtra, although being so mean in every respect, not only he was blind from physical eyes, but he was also blind internally from the spiritual perspective. But even then, because he could not see, I'm going to tie the blinds on my eyes for the rest of my life. And she did that. So many wonderful examples are there. Savitri, Satyavan was, before getting married, she knew that in 1 year he's going to die. But somehow or the other, she had already made up her mind that this is my husband. That is the chastity that she had in her heart. And she took her, and after that, very rightfully, as per the prediction, Satyavan died. When Satyavan died, Yamraj came to take him. And she followed Yamraj. And she kept on following Yamraj until unless Yamraj would let go of him. Yamraj said, please, Mata, don't do this. I can give you some boons, but I have to take this soul. So Savitri, she said, okay, fine. So there was a couple other boons, like, you know, her father-in-law was blind. So she said, make him get his eyes back. And then a couple other boons she asked for. And then the last boon she asked is, I would like to have 100 children. So Yamraj said, okay, tathastu. Now he didn't think at that time. So immediately that happened. And then of course he had to return back Satyavan. So this is the chastity. Chastity is so much. It's such a pure, pure thing. And especially chaste women are as worshipable as Parvati Devi. Parvati Devi, Srimati Radharani. These are all these different energies of Srimati Radharani. Radharani is the most chaste. She is the most chaste. Krishna is supposed to be unchaste. The gopis in Raj, they curse him. But Radharani, she is always so chaste. Now it is said that Radharani doesn't even look at another male's face. Now it is interesting, but of course I don't want to go into that right now. But the point being about chastity. Chastity is so important. At the same time, in this verse, it is said that if a husband or a wife, this is called Ardhangini. Wife is called Ardha. Ardha means half, Angini means body. So basically, whatever the husband does, the wife automatically gets 50%, whether she does it or not. So supposing, in our community sometimes I have seen, and I have been rigid myself with my own wife, and sometimes, you know, we like Maharaj said that yesterday, the hamare iskon mein jo pratha hai, we should not try to, ladna nahi chahiye. You know, we have to take it easy. Supposing if your wife is only chanting 2 rounds, say nice words, encourage her, praise her. That's very nice, you're chanting 2 rounds. Rather than saying, you're only chanting 2 rounds, you should be chanting 16. Or you should be waking up every day for Mangal Arati and you should be doing puja and you should be doing that and you should be doing this and that. That is fanaticism. It is not. As a matter of fact, even if they don't do anything, even if they take care of the basic day-to-day activities, they are already promoted. Just imagine that if Krishna is so kind, even a demon like Hiranyakashipu was liberated just because Prahlad is a devotee. Don't you think that if we do our part as husbands or as males and we chant the holy name, whatever we are doing, we may be more rigorous in our sadhana, automatically you think she will not be delivered? Yes, she will be delivered. Absolutely, she will be delivered. Sometimes, you know, I've seen and I've heard many stories where some Matajis even, they become fanatical. They neglect their children. They neglect I have to chant 16 rounds. I have to do this. Oh, today there is a program. Guru Maharaj is coming. I have to run. And then they leave their children. You take care of this or they will give it to somebody. I have seen this in the West. Practically, children used to come. I have seen with my own eyes. Little babies, they were coming to the temple regularly and they were looking so cute, dressed up on Janmashtami as Krishna. They used to sing in their Totli Bhasha, Narsingha Aarti. They used to sing Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And then slowly as they grew up, they came to college and they completely took a U-turn. Why they took a U-turn? This is because the parents were so fanatical, they never gave them time. Some of them started eating meat. These are practical examples of devotee families that I personally know. They have started associating there, and then they even go to this extent. This is personal experience, I'm telling. They even curse the parents saying that when they chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra or they put some Prabhupada tapes or something or they put some kirtan, what kind of funeral music is this? But those parents are sometimes helpless. Now they realize it is so late in their lives. They don't want, sometimes they feel like kicking those children out who are behaving like this, doing drugs, this, but at least they're coming home at night. There, at least we see them. That is why they are tolerating. But it is too late. That is why that balance has to be there. If that balance is not there, and if we just become fanatical, we are not going to obtain Krishna. Krishna only is obtained when you please Him. When your child is hungry, when your child wants something, like Mother Yashoda, see a simple thing. She didn't think of him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. My child is hungry, and she immediately started breastfeeding. No matter what. Just immediately. Minute Krishna wants something, why can't we imbibe the same qualities? If you love your children, if you love them, you will be able to be their best friend and give them Krishna consciousness. Otherwise it will be short-lived. It will boomerang. And these are not only one, I have seen many examples of this. That they deviate. And when they deviate, it's so bad that they are worse than even the worst people of the Malechas. Eating meat, having affairs outside of wedlock, and so many other things I don't need to mention. And these are the devotees' children who grew up in the movement. They grew up in the movement. They know some shlokas by heart. They know the aartis by heart. But finished. That is because of fanaticism. And that is why this particular realization, I believe that I have got from this particular verses. Okay, one person cannot do it for whatever reasons. That may be valid. Not out of laziness, but they have other reasons, right? That okay, I cannot do the aarti today because I have a reason. Then if the wife does it or the husband, if the wife cannot do it, let the husband do it. If there is a particular thing that you have to do from your sadhana, continue it. If the wife is unable to do cook today, you should be able to be ready to go into the kitchen and cook. Not that I can. That is a Maharaj yesterday, you have to learn. Learn the basics. We were fortunate in our young age when our mother was on a monthly thing. We were taught from a very, very young age how to cook. And that helps. So this is our Vedic culture. Some of them I've seen that, you know, they ask their wife, can you give me a glass of water? And he's right by the cooler. You know, and she has to drop 50 things just to give him a glass of water. And then they say, this is your duty. No. That is fanaticism. Maximum respect is given in our Vedic culture to women. And if we don't have that respect, then we cannot advance in Krishna consciousness. So whatever we do, whether it's your husband or the wife, it's one, both of them combined are one body. So whatever austerities you perform, whatever Krishna consciousness you perform, both get the benefit. Even if one apparently doesn't do it. Krishna consciousness means when you beget a child, that is for the child's development to continue his journey, hopefully the last one, and go back home, back to Godhead. That is Krishna consciousness. Having physical union to produce a child to serve Krishna is perfect Krishna consciousness, not for sense gratification. And our acharyas explained that very nicely in different bhajans. Even Thakur Bhakti, you know, just the way he led his life, he had 10 children. He begot 10 children. And the point being that, yes, when we are in a grihastha ashram, it is an ashram. One time I heard Radhana Swami saying this very nicely. It is an ashram. He stressed that fact. Ashram means developing Krishna consciousness. Out of the four ashrams, grihastha ashram. It is not grihamedhi. That Bhagavad says grihamedhi means those people who are actually just behind sense gratification. Even if you are begetting a child is meant to serve Krishna. Make that soul who enters. What is that nice verse from the third canto? Where it says that Daiva karmana daiva netrane deho jantu upapate striya pravishto udaram purusha retu kanashraya. According to the karma of the jiva and under the supervision of the Supreme Lord, that particular jiva gets that particular womb or parents taking shelter in the womb through the semen of the man, of the male. So when that jiva comes into your household, it is the property of Krishna. It is your duty to take him back home, back to Godhead. And then your Krishna consciousness is perfect. So I stop here now. I think if there's any questions or any comments, if I've made any mistakes, please correct me. Thank you very much. Again, the essence being that if our spouse there are husband or wife working in union to please Krishna. And if one is not able to do something, but if the other does it, one gets a 50% automatic credit to their account. So, Srila Prabhupada ji ki, any questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu.
जैसे आप अभी बता रहे थे प्रभु जी की प्रभुपाद बोले हमको एक दूसरे के प्रति आकर्षित नहीं होना चाहिए, हमको भगवान के प्रति आकर्षित होना चाहिए, लेकिन हम कभी कभी किसी आदमी को जानते भी नहीं है, ना उनके बारे में सुने हैं, लेकिन ना कभी देखे हैं, लेकिन वो उसको देखते हैं तो हम उसके प्रति आकर्षित हो जाते हैं, लेकिन भगवान के बारे में हम बार बार सुनते हैं देखते हैं लेकिन भगवान के प्रति हमारा आकर्षण नहीं बढ़ता है, तो इसके लिए आप कुछ हेल्प कर सकते हैं?
Okay, so if I have understood this question, I'll translate it in English. Sometimes we are seeing that so many people, they are in practicing Krishna consciousness, but why are they not attracted to Krishna? Am I correct? Aapka saar samajh liya maine? Ji? Actually, that is not true in one sense. From the higher sense, because we are attracted to Krishna, we came to Krishna consciousness. That's one angle of looking at it. Second angle, now why are we not genuinely attracted to Krishna? It's because of our past misdeeds or what we call anarthas. Due to our anarthas and due to our apradhas. Like it's like supposing when one is asked to plant a tree and dig a hole. So one person is asked to do that. So he digs a hole and at the same time, simultaneously, he fills it back with mud. Right? So where is the progress? Or rather, another example would be that you are on a boat and you throw an anchor and you keep rowing and rowing with all your energy, but the boat is not moving. Right? So these are impediments. Anarthas are our impediments. And one of the biggest anarthas, of course, we all know, every day we are chanting the holy name, the 10 offenses that Rupa Goswami has enlisted. And these 10 offenses, we have to analyze, where do we stand? Every day before we chant, we should actually contemplate and meditate on these 10 offenses. It's a good way of analyzing oneself. That, okay, we may not be like the first offense, being that considering the name of the Krishna and our demigods equal, right? So okay, we may not be doing that as devotees. We already know the tattva. Second one is, okay, the first one being that we are actually those people who are blaspheming the devotees who are engaged in the Krishna conscious, spreading of the Krishna conscious movement. We see that happening all the time. Sometimes we don't get along with devotees. We are blaspheming. Somebody may be doing some seva, but sometimes we don't get along with that devotee. We will say something bad about that devotee or we will have that ill feeling. So we are committing an offense there. Right? So I'm giving you some simple realizations and I'm talking to myself, not just to you all, but you know, that's what happens. It's an impediment. We may, Guru Avagya, how many of us to the T we follow Srila Prabhupada's instructions or our Guru Maharaj's instructions? That's the problem there. That is why we are not attracted. We select and choose. We have to be very honest with ourselves. Blaspheming Vedic literatures. Okay, we may not be doing it. That's fine. But there are other apradhas. Interpretation, mundane interpretations. A lot of people want to give the interpretation. They don't want to go as it is. They want to give their own thoughts on the explanations. No. Prabhupada, that is the beauty of our parampara, as it is, yatharup. We cannot say that, oh, I think. Prabhupada used to chastise. What is the use of your thinking, you nonsense? No. So these all lead to different, committing sinful activities on the strength of chanting the holy name. It's just like digging a hole and then putting the mud back in. We're doing that all the time. Knowingly or unknowingly, that is happening. considering the chanting of the holy names on an equal platform with Karmakandi mantras, preaching to the people who do not have faith, and the last one being, and the most important, in spite of chanting for so many years and being in the moment, we are still not getting rid of our materialistic propensities. It has to be inverse. The more Krishna conscious we get, the more detachment from material objects. So, somewhere we are going wrong. Out of the 10 offenses, if we can checklist each one of them and kind of get rid of those hurdles, then definitely we will get Krishna prem. The problem is that and it's a purificatory process. And that is why it's so important that we have to do the proper sadhu sangha and don't commit offenses. No matter what, devotees, you know, we all have this propensity we get, because obviously we are still in the process of being cleansed. But keep it in mind, and then when our improvement will happen, as long as we keep this in mind, okay, we can make a mistake. I know I got angry, I said such and such a thing about a certain devotee, etc. Or whatever offenses that are listed, we do. But at the moment, we keep that on mind every morning before we start chanting. We remember these 10 offenses, or we say them aloud, or even while chanting, we contemplate on them, we meditate, then we can, at some point, these things will cease, and we will be purified, and we will get attracted to Krishna. It's like, you know, I like to give this example, that somebody may have bought a brand new, latest model TV set, right? With all the toys in it, you know, or whatever the features are there. And there is, they turn it on, but there is no picture on it. It's just something fuzzy. Why is that? Because there is no antenna connected to it, or the cable wire is loose, right? The transmission is perfect from the TV tower, but the recipient has to be also have a clean reception without an obstruction in order to receive that transmission. And vice versa. Sometimes you may have a perfect TV, perfect antenna, perfectly connected cable, but if your transmitter, meaning if you hear from the wrong source, etc., then you can get trapped, and even then you will not be able to get yourself purified. So you have to also, that's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Bhagavat suno, Bhagavat sthane. You have to hear Bhagavat or Shastra from the right source, from a Bhagavat, Mahabhagavat. And obviously, even though when we sit here, we are not Mahabhagavats, but we are reading the Vani of a Mahabhagavat, Srila Prabhupada. As long as we stick to it and we do not deviate, then we are perfect. Especially when we are speaking, when we are sitting on the Vyasasana, when we are preaching to somebody without deviation from what Prabhupada has given us. So that will attract Krishna. So bottom line is, our antenna is not perked up. We have impediments. The blockage is there. So no matter what, even a great personality like Srila Prabhupada may come, and Prabhupada preached to thousands and millions came, but a few took it to it. Out of the millions, maybe 10,000, 20,000 took to it. Not everybody could, because of the blockage. And that blockage is there because we have our minute independence. Krishna will never force. We have to will it, desire it, in order for Krishna to work with us. So that attraction will come once we stop these offenses, or at least we are conscious about it, then Krishna within our heart, He will help us with that. Our desire is there, Krishna will help. I am a nonsense rascal, yes Krishna, that's what I am, but I would like to be purified. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in his Sharanagati Bhajan that, what does he say in that line? E adhame karo uttam. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Jive Daya Kori Sa Parshad Suyodham Saha Uttari Atyanta Durlabha Prema Kori Varidan Shikhaya Sharanagati Bhakatero Pran. So at the end he is saying in that particular bhajan, E Adhame Karo Uttam Kandiya Kandiya Bale Amito Adham Shikhaya Sharanagati Karo Hai Uttam. So this is what we need to learn from our acharyas. When we pray to Krishna, what are we praying? Are we praying for our purification, or are we mechanically doing something? And even though we are doing mechanically, no problems. It's not going to go overnight. But that desire has to be there, that I would like to eradicate it. So I hope, Prabhuji, I was able to आई होप मैं आपका समाधान कर पाया, ऐसे मैं आशा रखता हूं। हरे कृष्णा। श्री प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की गौर प्रेमानंदे।